Oh, goodness. All of a sudden, we've got some noise on the line. Let me mute all the lines. Hi, everybody. It's Michelle, and this is our second call. It's goodness, just our second call in the Practical Application series. And this is December 10th, 2019. We're going to begin, as we always do, in Shavasana. Shavasana allows us to find a quiet space. It allows us to breathe. It allows us to find clarity and find that presence that we need for all of our businesses and our lives, just that spaciousness, that presence of mind, and that step away from that monkey mind where all the words are happening at once and we can't possibly find a word that would land because there's just a buzz of everything. So Shavasana allows us to find that quiet space. So lying down on your back in a comfortable spot, please make sure your head and neck are supported so that the chin is lower than or level with the forehead. Bend your knees for a moment and take the hands to take the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels, making space through the low back. Then extend one leg out and then the other and release the baby toes to the floor. The rest of the toes follow. Feel release in the legs, release in the arms. Feel quietness in this moment. And softly close the eyes. Behind closed eyes, scan the body for any tension. And where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Taking this time for yourself, whatever busyness has happened in your day until now, whatever else is to come, can you simply be here now, releasing the whole body to the earth, relaxing all the muscles in your legs, your arms, your torso, your head and shoulders, the face, the jaw, letting the body release to gravity. Complete letting go and ease in the body, even as the mind remains sharp. It's different from couch potato slouch, where our mind is fuzzy. Instead, the mind is one-pointed, focused on this movement of this breath, here and now. Feel the breath. If you find your mind busy or wandering as mind will, gently without judgment, bring your focus back to the breath. How one-pointed can you be in the breath today? So that as soon as a thought is arising, you're letting it go. It's just at the birth of the thought, you notice, let it go. Come back and again and again to the breath. Let the eyes sink back to the back brain, and then Shavasana comes. Soft eyes, quiet breath. Let each breath take you deeper and deeper into silence. Whatever quiet you have found in your Shavasana today, know that it's perfect for you. It's your perfect Shavasana. And letting go of Shavasana as easily as you came in, it begins just with the thought that soon you will move. This is so important for finding the words, separating out thought and reaction. Thought and action. The thought is just a thought. You don't need to react, just the thought, soon you will move. And then allow the breath to deepen. Start to move in any way that feels good to you. Are you able to pay attention? What does feel good to you? Have you paid attention to that yet today? How does the body want to move? And then bring the knees to the chest. Give yourself a big hug. Roll onto your right side. Take your time. Softly open your eyes. And use your hands to press yourself up to sitting. And return to our virtual circle. As always, whenever possible, camera on for the rest of our call, because it trains that one-pointed attention. Turning off the phone, pulling over if you're driving, always paying attention to just one thing. Because as human beings, we're not very good at multitasking. We try to say the numbers in the alphabet at the same time. 1, A, 2, B, 3, C, 4, D, 5 is hard. We're actually always, that's what the brain does, is code switching when we're multitasking and we're less efficient. When we're just focused on one thing, we can say the numbers, we can say the alphabet much more quickly and easily, and we're less drained by the end of the day. So great to see you, Anna Maria and Steve. Great to see you. See many others here returning to the circle, and hopefully again, always camera on whenever you can. I'd love to hear from you. First, what did you love in this Shavasana today? Always having a practice of focusing on what we love, because what we focus on expands. There might've been 99 things that bothered you, whatever. There was at least one thing that you loved. What was it? Who would like to share? Just a sentence or two. What was this practice for you today? Anne, go ahead. And then Steve.
For me, it was, again, just to separate the beginning of my day and to get me focused and ready to listen with all my heart to this class today and be fully present.
Love that. And then how you do anything is how you do everything. If you're doing it here, that's how the rest of the day goes as well. So fantastic. Yes, a separation. I'm here. Beautiful. Steve, how about you?
Well, it was great to be able to participate from the beginning, since I had conflicts. and continue to find those. So it was great to practice the Shavasana, to be able to be present for that.
Lovely. Just enjoying the even ability to be here and then training that full presence when it's like sometimes when something is scarce, when you can't always be there, because you did have that pre-existing conflict, as we know, Steve, that, it, 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 is easy for gratitude to emerge, you know, things that we don't take for granted, things that aren't always there. How wonderful is that to notice? Thank you. Beautiful. All right. Anything else burning to be shared about that Shavasana experience without which we cannot go forward? So notice those calls are different, like who would like to share, and then, oh, just if there's something that's burning. Okay. Because we always want to create that space as well. Otherwise, there's something pulling in a different direction with our, in our collective, and we won't be able to hear. And Anne, I'm just going to mute your line once again. So just always you can unmute, but just keeps a nice clear line for everybody and a nice clear recording for afterwards. So just a couple of reminders as we dive in. Please remember to put the calls on your calendar. So I know that December is a very full time of year, and that's when it's especially important to take time for you. And this is time for you growing your mission on the planet, growing what you want to do, reaching out to the people you want to reach out to, building that work and letting it be easier as well, so that you have time and space for yourself. So really take the time to carve out that time for yourself and get our calls on your calendar. Also a reminder, please do ask questions. And I know I didn't model that very well because I got to one of our three questions last time. Then nobody posted a question for this time that I found. And so that's on me. We'll make sure to respond to those two questions today. And we will always make sure that we get to your questions. And if we don't, keep me accountable. Keep me honest to that. I want to make sure that you get all of your questions answered. The more questions you ask, the more this is custom designed for you. And if you're not sure how to ask questions, it's right there in Story Freedom Academy. If you don't yet have access to Story Freedom Academy, get in touch with, let me see, who would be first to, Emily's not well right now, so Amy, A-M-Y, at michellegunderson.com. She'll make sure you have access. And you can easily post your questions once you're in the Story Freedom Academy. And there's so many resources there for you. You're going to want to make sure that you have access. I was looking through your surveys and it was so interesting and moving to me. Thank you for all that you shared in your surveys. And I'm going to go over them as we do the course, you know, multiple times, because I want to understand, you know, where you began, where you started from, what your questions were. And the thing that struck me the most as I was looking through your questions this morning is the diversity of this group in terms of your background and experience and knowledge about business, and also your feeling about what it is that you're doing. And so without mentioning what survey came from where, I mean, some of you, I was one of them, I was rejoicing when I said that. It's like, I'm just one of them. One of the comments was, I'm just about to have my best Q4 ever in 2019. Thank you. And that was lovely to read. You know, we've been working together and some beautiful things happening. And others, you're saying like, I don't even know why I'm doing what I'm doing anymore. And I'm so tired. I just want a break. And some who've, you know, grown a lot and are heading out into lots of ways to reach out to people. And some who are just only meeting people. And that's a fine way to meet people through referrals and networking. But we want to be able to start there and then expand to other places. So the reason I want to mention that, so many different, and a lot of you saying, I want to improve in all those areas. Or some of you, it's like, I don't even know about the words. I can't even remember why I'm here anymore. So I can't even think about the words yet. So the diversity and where you're coming from, and know that you're not alone too, because I heard all different answers that you know, you had both differences and similarities. All right. So there was somebody else that said something that you said too, that happened throughout. So one, don't judge. So wherever somebody else is at, like, this is your company, this is your trajectory, this is your vision, this is your mission. So don't judge whatever somebody else is working on. It's just, you might not be there yet, and that's fine. And then also don't judge. Sometimes if you've been working in your business a long time and you already have some things built and somebody is just beginning their business, don't judge. Because they may have that exact beginner's mind. It's like, well, I don't know that. I tried that. Well, that doesn't work. And they might be just on the tail of that, and that's working for them because they're new and they're hot on that. And there's no fatigue or in and around that. So don't underestimate the value of the voices here. Don't judge And then know that this process is cumulative. Every single piece that we do in this series builds with every other single piece to create a radically different business and a radically different life. So if you've missed any calls, please go back. Even if you were there, I recommend that you go back and listen to them again, because more is happening at more different levels than I will necessarily be remarking on. We are creating an energy that is completely different from what's out there usually in the world. We're creating a foundation for the words to come from. And so you will be, if you go back, and maybe you're listening to this call at the end of call 7 later on, right? And you'll hear different things than you heard before, right? So wanted to start with that. And then I wanted to remind you of a couple places that we've been. And I want to do this rapid fire just in a couple of minutes, just so we've got a foundation together. Maybe you weren't here last week, or lots has happened, you can't remember where we were. How many of you have been to both the pre-call and the call last week, and you've done all the suggested exercises? Raise your hand. You've done all of it. All of it. Okay, so like a couple hands up, like congratulate yourself, all right? And then who has not, who's missing one component of it somewhere, be proud, raise your hand. All right, and I wanted to do that to let you know you're not alone. And then again, it's all cumulative. Go back, take a look at, you know, the pre-call, the call from last time. Go and take a look at those handouts. Go read Anatomy of an Empowering Story. All gets, there's nothing that's extra. All gets put together to create that experiences like I've got my best Q4 ever. Wow. And what we're doing here allows for that kind of transformation. I've seen it over and over again. So whether it's money that you want, time that you want, all those things come out of having the words to say it. Because our companies are built on the words. They're built on what we say to each other. They're built on relationships with people. And those, if we don't have the words to say it, how do we do? I don't know how to do, right? So quick review. So just a reminder of this practical application is get results with your words. Why is it that I'm not very fond of formulas? If you answer it, it'll be in your words and you'll remember it better. It doesn't mean you can't use some formulas. Don't think that they're evil. Don't think that they're bad. I've used some sometimes too. But why don't formulas really work at the deepest level when we really want to find our words? Will somebody say it in a sentence or two? Yeah, Grace, go ahead.
Based on my experience with you last week, my answer would be, while the format might work, the content within a structure has to come from our heart. It has to come from within for it to have an impact.
It's got to come from within. And if somebody else has created a formula for us, it might not be our words. When I was preparing, for instance, a series of videos that I did, and the person I was working with had some formulas, so I followed their formulas and tried it out, because I'm open to anything, right? But then I just, you know, wasn't working for me, so I added another piece that I just brought in. They're like, more of that, do that, please. You know, I was looking at all the stuff that had to do with the formulas. It wasn't working, and I'm pretty good with words, right? So how do we have it come from the heart, like Grace said? By the way, Grace, you've been on my mind. I know I haven't replied to you yet. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And if any of you else are, you know, you're in my heart, your name is on my kitchen counter, all right? So just so you know, if anybody else is in that place, just keep reaching out to me, and, you know, I'll get there, all right? So, why else? It's got to come from our heart, yes, but what else? What else? I don't formulas work. Yeah, Jasmine.
If you're really building a business, especially like a heart-centered, mission-based business, then you're the only one who can really express what that vision and that idea really is. And no formula can capture just like the essence of what makes you unique. We talk about, you know, your unique selling proposition all the time, and it's you. It's what you bring, and no formula can ever show that.
So if you can't tap into who you are, if you don't know that, then how can you even express that to the person who wants you to create the formula? Again, I'm not trying to say you don't use formulas. In some places, they're fantastic. In some places, they work wonderfully. But if we restrict ourselves to that, we're tapping into this much, and there's this much instead, all right? And here's the other piece that I want you to know about and why we approach it the way that we do here in practical applications. Because if you want me to give you some formulas, I will. So don't think, oh no, I can't ask her for a formula and I really want one, but I will give you formulas if you want them. Don't worry, please ask. And then somebody else will go, okay, good, because I wanted to ask her a formula in this area too. We'll find those for you, all right? But here's the thing. Our words come in real situations. So here's our elevator pitch, blah, it's a formula. And then somebody says, okay, and how's your dog? We have nothing else to say. There's no other conversation. The world doesn't work in just formulas. And we don't know what to say next. And if we have a growing company as well, then that's going to shift and change. And so how can what we are, who, all of who we are, be packaged into these small formulas? It's just like finding a copywriter. We can hire a copywriter for like $10,000 a page. What happens when we have the best Q4 ever and our company is growing and now we're growing and the company is shifting because we start to understand it better? Now we got to redo that copy. And if we've only understood the formula and we haven't really understood what's behind it, where the words are coming from, if we don't know where they're generated from, then what do we do? So so here, our intention here is to understand the principles, understand the foundations, understand the roots of words that work, words that land, words that are persuasive, words that influence. And it's why I don't teach the evil ones. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? And I don't really believe that there are evil people on the planet. I think that, you know, sometimes people get lost and do some horrible things. I'm not saying that they don't. But I really believe, I foundationally believe in the goodness of humanity, the goodness of each person, right? But I still say I don't teach the evil ones, because persuasion, like where I want us all to be able to get to is like, well, I could persuade that person to do that because I have the power, because I know how these words work. And I'm not going to do it because it's not going to serve them. I want you to know yourself to be that powerful that you're actually choosing when you're going to help that person step up and you know, invest in themselves through your work, for instance. And when it's like, no, that person needs to go their own path. So words are that powerful. Words are that persuasive. And instead of like, how do I convince, or how do I coming from beneath? It's like, how do I make sure that I use this power that I have for the upliftment of all? If you understood what I said and why it's important, if that made sense to you, raise your hand. I want to see if this is landing. Did you understand that? Yes. Okay. That's coming up all around. Fantastic. So, and that's also that foundational principle. Remember, I mentioned that book Influence. It's one of many, but I think it's a great example because it's such a powerful, or it's very persuasive in the industry. And in that book Influence by Robert Cialdini, if you read between the lines, or they're right there in the words, it's like influence is about a war. It's about somebody's going to do something to me, and I better protect myself from that, and from that protective stance. And it's like you got to defend, and you've got to protect yourself. And then there's camouflage. And if you read through the book, there's all these war analogies and war words, war imagery. And when I like, if that's what you're looking for, it's a wrong place, because I just don't see it that way. What instead can we create win-win-win scenarios? Can we create a world where instead influence comes from, where I truly believe the most powerful influence comes from? It comes from a connection. It comes from real relationships with real people. And when we start from that foundation, very different from a lot of what's out there, then we can, things can move very quickly, although we're not trying to go quickly. We should go slowly to go quickly. And then people look at us and go, you know, how come you're speaking from a stage? And people are noticing that your words are different, and people are starting to flock to you. Or networking, how come people weren't coming before? And those three people immediately came and they're asking for your services. Or how come, and these are things experienced from people who've, we've been doing the work together. How come people are asking for your services and you haven't even built it yet? All these things have happened to people, and many, many more things like this. So starting from a very real foundation instead of formulas, power over a very different foundational place. And so one of the, what I call the four principles of persuasion are founding story. It's just a little tiny anecdote about my daughter, Dana. And she crossed the room. And why did it happen? And the four principles of persuasion, we remember it by that acronym REAL. And somebody tell me what that means and why each of those pieces is important. Can you do that in just a minute? And again, if you guys say it, you'll remember it better. And if you can't remember it, you can't use it. And also it's just repetition allows us to start to assimilate it at deeper and deeper levels. So what's that acronym REAL stand for? And in your words, yeah, Anne, what's it mean to you? And you're muted. Don't forget to unmute.
Relationship, empathy, word, skill, and love the genre?
Yes. What do those things mean? Can you state it for us in just less than a minute?
To be yourself with other people, and be who you are in differently in each situation, so that you can shift and flow and talk to people in all settings, walks of life, etc.
Yes, those are absolutely keys. Yes, absolutely. Because a relationship, I mean, I have a relationship with her. We can build that quickly. Empathy, I have to know what it's like in that moment. And you spoke to that. Fantastic. I love what you said. Word skill, that's one thing that you didn't mention in that I didn't hear. But word skill, it's a real thing. Usually people think that's all that it is. If they're looking for the formulas, and we think it's like magical words or something like that, right? But we do, there are... very definite skills that we can learn so that we use our words appropriately. So so the craft of words and language, we do some of that here, do a whole lot of that in a retreat that I do every year in Mexico. It's going to be its 11th annual. We do like a whole week-long dive into that and many other things. But here, for instance, one technique I can give you can put things in brackets, right? What's a word skill? I don't think I've taught that here yet. So for instance, I can say to my daughter, Dana, when she was little, so this is about word skill part of that acronym REAL, right? Add word skill. So I might say to her, Dana, I know that you want to stay up late and it would be super fun and we could eat popcorn and we'd have a really cuddly time on the couch and your friends get to stay up late and it's a wonderful thing to do. But that's not happening tonight. I just put all that stuff in brackets. Do you hear that? That's word skill. A lot of people don't know how to do that. And it's just one example of word skill. And we use that as speakers. We can use that when we're networking. And that one example of word skill can change your life on stage, networking, in a sales conversation, when you're meeting a new potential client, when you're working with your team. And let me give you, and it can be in, you know, different areas when you're working with your team. Yeah, I know we've set forward a whole bunch of priorities. I know that we've, you know, I don't usually talk like this because usually I'm trying to stop them from working so long, right? Because I just work hard and they're engaged in the company. But I know you've been working hard. I know that we've done a lot. I know we have many different priorities. But here's the thing we're going to focus on today, and here's why. I just put things in brackets. My words are more powerful because of that one skill about, you know, word skill. And so understanding how words work. Here's one example, and we'll have many different ones like through the course of it, of practical applications. And if you want more, ask me and I'll give you even more than what we have planned here. All right. To love the genre, you got to love the genre. And you did mention about, every different situation. If I think that when I'm networking, I mistake that for speaking or mistake that from speaking like a preacher, for instance, right? There's no way, even if I have the perfect words, whatever those are, no way that my words can land. So thank you for that. Beautiful. Yes, real. So important. Foundational principle for the whole course. What's the close to far principle? Why do we go from close into far away? Somebody tell me that. Why do we go from close into far away? In your own words, for your own company, and hopefully you've been experiencing this and playing with it already. Somebody tell me like half a sentence or a sentence. What does it even mean? Yeah, Dottie, go ahead.
I think that close in, when you move close in, you're interested, you're listening. When you're moving back, you're like, I'm not interested.
Oh, I love that. That's really true, but it's not what I mean by close in to far away. So, but I do love that. That is true. We can lean in and people think we're paying attention. It's one of those skills about body language, although sometimes people get leaning in and they're still not listening and still people won't, you know, so there's something more to it than that. And that's not what we mean here, but thank you for that, Dottie. Thank you for like leaping in and going for it. I so appreciate that. Jasmine, go ahead. What's close into far away mean?
Close into far away, you start with the folks and the people and the sales and the opportunities that are closest to you, the easy, low-hanging fruit, and then you expand outward to more difficult things and people that are further out.
Yes, and what defines those people who are close in versus far away? What is further out in our system, in our way of thinking about this? Yeah, so I saw Grace and I saw Jasmine. So Gracie, go ahead.
So close in would be the people we meet every day in every situation. And we get to have those conversations and tune in. Far away might be an email that we send. It's pretty far away. We're not as close to the context or other individuals.
Yeah, so here's, yes, those are good examples. So for people with two eyes and a nose and a mouth, somebody right in front of you, practice there, start there. That's why we're starting with how we meet people and networking. And then we move to further and further away. So then we can have a one-on-one conversation with somebody. Then we're speaking to a live audience. And next, a little further away again, is a virtual audience. So this is a little further away than if we were all actually in the same room. All right, because I can, maybe I can't see that you're, you know, tapping your feet in some way, right? I don't know. There's other things in the room, and I know if the room is really hot or cold, or there's other things I can see things and sense things from that. So from that person that I'm networking with to live speaking and one-on-one conversations, live speaking, and then virtual speaking like this, then virtual speaking where I can't see the audience, because that's different. Some of you I can see, and I'm gathering what, you know, how Jenny is feeling or how Mary Kay is feeling by, you know, what maybe Tracy is doing right now, because I'm looking at not just Tracy, I'm looking at all of you. So they're further away right now. It's why I also encourage you to have your video on, because I can teach you better. It's easier when I can see you and I know what's going on, right? Further away, I've got it from all of my experience beforehand. I'm guessing what's happening with Anna Maria from, you know, all those closer in conversations from before. And then furthest away, we do an email campaign, maybe to our own list, and then out there to things like, you know, our website and Facebook ads, and often people start at the other end. We start, okay, I'm building my website, now I'm going to do some Facebook ads, but I don't know how to talk to one single person. Start close in, go to far away, and save tens of thousands of dollars, right? Start close in. If that person in front of you is not interested and their eyes are wandering and they can't hear you and they're running away, then why would I invest in a Facebook ad if I don't even know what's moving that person? It's so simple, but most people do it the other way around. And if you only take that home from this whole series, it could save you thousands of dollars. Hi, Jenny. Hi, Anna Maria. So great, because then I can help you better too, right? So great to see you. Thanks for joining us visually. All right, so that's close into far away. And then the principle of connection, I think I alluded to that in our pre-call, which is a foundation for this series. But I just want to let you know, like, everything is connected. We're going to take that a little bit further today, but everything is connected, and that really matters for every part of our business. We need to know how to make connections between things. Dottie, was that a hand? Just something real quick.
So when we say that we do cold calls, or we just do calls of people that we've met at meetups, do you recommend that we call the people that we know and know us first, or call people that are we don't really know?
Yes. Yeah. So years ago, I took a course from, oh my goodness, her name is escaping me right now, but she's a wonderful speaker on speakers. It was many years ago I took her course, and it was how to book, you know, how to get booked speaking. And she said, even she followed this principle, and I'm like, yes, she knows what she's talking about. That makes sense, because she's like, well, there's all this stuff about cold calling out there, but don't do that. Don't start there. Warm calls first. Somebody you know somebody you know you. Yeah, always start close in. And I'm not saying don't ever do cold calls. That's, you know, it's possible to do that. I don't know that I've. Let me see. I'm trying to think if I've ever done that even. I'm just like, it would be the exception to prove the rule. It's certainly not what I've done. This company has been growing exponentially. We've done some, you know, really wonderful work, and clients that I've worked with, same thing. And, I've never even bothered teaching cold calling, because why wouldn't you do it the easy way? And then everything that you've learned doing it the easy way, all that's going to apply if you need or want to make cold calls. And sometimes we need to reach out to somebody that we don't know very well. I guess we do that for speaking engagements now. But we're really successful with that. And part of it is we find a way to create that warm connection, right? So everything's connected. I'll tell you more about that. If I haven't told you more about it by an hour from now, will somebody raise their hand and keep me accountable? Michelle, what was that about closing? Thank you, Jasmine. All right. So don't be afraid. Leap in, because it's on my page here, and it's so important. It's foundation to everything. We should get to it much sooner than that. All right. I want to ask you with So for today we're going to go from networking toward the end. We'll start, I think, pointing toward something that's a little further away, which is speaking. We're going to take these skills and move them over into speaking, and we'll get there next time as well. Next time that'll be the core of our call next time. So I want to start. I'm looking down at my notes here. Yes. We were playing with some networking principles last time, and you were choosing. One of you chose the gap. You chose listening. And I just want to hear, I'd love to hear some wins from the group. How did that go? And our experiences, just a sentence or two. Tell us about your experiences playing with those some of those networking principles. What did you notice out there in the real world? Have you started to use this material already? And I hope you are. And if you haven't yet, you got your chance this week. How did it go? Who'd like to share? Would like to share first? I'd like to hear from one or two of you. Yeah, Michelle, thank you.
Hi. So something I guess I've just observed about myself is that I'm really, I don't know if I'm good at it or what, but like one-on-one with somebody, I don't think about things. But then as soon as there's maybe a few people that I'm teaching or a few people that I'm talking to, that's where it completely changes for me. And that's where I get in my own head. So I don't know that I've necessarily changed everything this week, but I'm starting to become more aware of maybe seeing that, like understanding that there's these different genres or whatever, and that, okay, I have an issue. And all of a sudden I stop acting like the same person I would with one person. And I need to learn how to not think I have to change who I am so much when there's more people watching me or something.
Right. Right. Love that. Thank you for that observation, Michelle. Love that. And here's something. Are you okay if we play with this a little bit right here, right now?
Yeah.
All right. So, and this is one of the reasons that I had y'all read Anatomy of an Empowering Story. And just by a show of hands, how many of you, no judgment, right? But just so I have an idea of who I'm speaking to, the background that you have in this, how many of you have read Anatomy of an Empowering Story by now? Raise your hand. Okay. So most of you, how many have not yet read it? Be proud. Hands up. Not yet read it. Okay. All right. So you're not alone. you got something that you can do this week that will help you. So there's inner stories and there's outer stories, and both of them matter in the words that we're choosing and the words that we're speaking and how they land. And Michelle, as you're saying, well, each time you say that, you know, I'm good with this. Well, then it changes, and I have a challenge over here. I understand you're saying, but Michelle, how else am I going to tell you about this? But I wonder if we can just play with that language a little bit. Because words are really powerful, and they express our world, they create our worlds. So, I had 10,000 other things I wanted to tell you about that. I'm just like, no, like just good enough, they create our worlds. So what would it be like, Michelle, if you started saying something different, but that still felt true to you? Try this on for size. I love talking to people one-on-one. When it's close in like that, it's super easy for me, and I know who I am, and I, like, what are you emphasizing, right? I know who I am, I know exactly what to say, and I don't even think about it. What I'm excited about, only if you are, only if it's true. What I'm excited about is I'm starting to learn that that's a transferable skill, because I learned that we work from close in to far away. And so in the past, see what I did there? In the past, I didn't know how to do that. But I know I'm starting to learn, and I'm starting to pay attention to how I interact in, you know, in groups of three or, you know, more than one person. And I know that it's a skill that I can grow, and that I'm in the right place to learn that skill. And so I'm excited to watch the small changes, because if there's even one little thing that I bring over from how I speak to that one person, and then maybe just with two people, and then maybe just one thing shifts, I know I'm on the right track. And would it be nice if that story that I've carried for a while around how I speak to larger groups, if that just started to fade away, like starting actually right here, right now, because even right here, right now, I'm gaining awareness I didn't have before. And so I can't even say what it's like, because I'm a new person right here, right now, and listening to these words. I wonder what it's going to be with the next time I speak. In fact, because like here you were speaking to a bunch of people. Did everybody find that clear? Did everybody know exactly what you said? Did it look like you to me, right? So Michelle, how does that feel to you? Does that feel real, or is that like, no, it's not true?
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. And it's, it's where are you putting the focus, right? It's the same thing essentially, but where are you putting the focus of the words and the feeling behind it? Like, it's a very different, you might read it, hearing it from me, if I said it the way you said it, as a, you know, like, oh, I want to follow that person a lot more.
Ah, now there's opportunity. Now there's movement. And I sometimes draw, if I've got a blackboard or a whiteboard in front of me, like a less than sign or a greater than sign, which one is it? Like, it starts from over here, right? And it's just this one little change. Michelle's just making the, in the midst of change, making this one little change. And it's created in those words. And it creates a completely different life and company trajectory. Michelle could have gone on to say that over and over again, and the thing creates itself, because that's the story that she's telling, but doesn't have to tell that story anymore. It's fine over here, and then I always, and it's solid and it can't move. The words are making it unmovable. Now I'm starting to learn how. I know to go close into far away, and I understood it at an even better level this today. And so now I'm excited about the next time I'm in a group of two, and watch me put this in brackets, and I might even totally mess up, and I might even have all the wrong words, and I might even stumble over my words and think I'm not myself, but I know I'm learning. See what was emphasized there? But I know I'm learning, and I know each time I have a chance to just make even one little shift, and I'm excited about that change. Michelle, fantastic. Thank you. Beautiful. All right. Let's hear one other example of, that was great, Michelle. Thank you so much. Instructive for everyone, I hope, and trust. All right. So playing with networking principles. How did this go for you? Let's hear from one other person. Did you get out there and play either with the gap or with listening, or, you know, or maybe some of the networking personalities to avoid? We went through that last time. Right, because do you remember why we want to avoid those networking personalities? By the way, we'll get to the example, but first I want to go back, see what you remember. What's the problem with those networking personalities, the ones that we want to avoid? How many of you reviewed them at all this week? Okay, so to go back to, how many of you thought of them at least once? Yeah, that's why I'm going back to it. All right, oh, a couple of you. Okay, fantastic. All right. So go back, play with them this week. These are like not meant as like head knowledge, or like the university. Sometimes there's all these good ideas, but if they don't get implemented, who cares, right? So go back and be playful with them. And what's the problem with these networking personalities? What arises when we fall into one of them? Do you remember? Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Well, they all break some aspect of being real, or exactly. The REAL acronym.
Exactly. And a really great exercise. It would be a fantastic thing if you just spent 15 minutes and went through to see, well, which one is it breaking here? Which one is breaking here? Just so you kind of become familiar with them. Because the more familiar you are with them, the more you'll notice them in other people or yourself, and like get to be playful about it. Like, yet last week it was like, oh my goodness, I've been Debbie Downer. Doesn't matter what my words are, I could have the perfect elevator pitch, I could, and I was like, everybody's going to want to, I think it was Barb who said, they're all going to run. When we do that, everybody wants to run away, and we don't even have an opportunity to speak close up yet, and so we can't practice, and then that whole chain disappears. Or we can let ourselves understand what these principles are and play with them and go try them out and see what happens and watch it happening on the court, so we become more and more aware of it. So thank you, Steve. Beautiful. All right.
And by the way, some of them break more than one.
Thank you. Yes, they do. In fact, you know, I haven't even done that exercise myself to go through each one. I think that's a great thing to do. I haven't done it myself, I'll tell you. But I would be surprised if they didn't actually all break one of them in some particular way. Each of them, I mean. They're probably breaking all four when you think about it. You know, it could be possible. I don't know. Go out and check for yourself. And why and how do they break them? Because the more you investigate that, the more you analyze it. And analysis is just breaking something down into its component parts. the more you see what it's made up of, the more you'll remember it and allow it to be a real living part of your world, right? So anybody else who played either, you know, with the networking personalities, we only did those to avoid last time. We didn't do the ones to emulate. We'll talk about that a little bit today. We'll get to some networking do's and don'ts. We'll start to point in the direction of speaking as well. So anybody else, did you go out there and play? You might have even been playing at the grocery store. It might have been at a networking event. Mary Kay, go ahead.
I played with it at the airport.
Perfect.
I was sitting waiting for the plane, and there was a mother and a baby, and the baby was just crying and fussing, and the mom was not paying a lot of attention to him. And so, of course, my inclination is to connect with the baby rather than the mother. So I did. I just smiled and caught his eye and smiled, which immediately caught his attention, and he stopped crying. And then I was able to engage him with, you know, just little facial expressions and stuff like that. And then I connected with the mom, and I forget what I said, something about, you know, it was hard or something, having a baby in the airport, something like that. And she didn't respond a whole lot, but her behavior changed with her baby. She started paying more attention to him, and the two of them were able to engage.
This is fantastic. Beautiful story. I love this story. And this is not that different from any other networking situation where we're meeting that person, and that we always want to start with, somebody with two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. Because that could be the person who's sitting there in pain. Maybe they have pain in your area. You're walking up to them and you're meeting them. Their behavior starts changing. And it might be, it's only one small step from them going, I feel so much better now that I've talked to you. Why did that even happen? Well, you know, I can't tell you, but there's this and there's this and there's that. Do you want to have a longer conversation? Let's chat. And all of a sudden, like, this is game changing for a company, and it starts with such simple foundational principles that we easily, most people out there miss. So you're you know, head and tails over and above so many entrepreneurs out there. We understand even just these foundational principles, that they're huge. All right, thank you, love that. All right, anything else burning to be said? Anything else, wanting to be said about these networking principles of playing with it before we go forward? Okay, let me see. The two questions that were asked last time were from Barb and Sherry. And now Barb was here last time. I don't see her here this time. So do I answer her question this time or next time? I think I'm going to, but Sherry is here. Yay, okay. I think I'm going to hold off on Barb's question. And I'm just going to write myself a note. And always when you're asking questions too, if you're not going to be here, you can still get your questions answered. Just say, Michelle, I'm not going to be there next time. I can't be, but answer it on that call anyway. And then when you go back on the recording will be the answer to your call. If you're actually here, then if it's helpful to engage together, we get a chance to do so. All right. So, I want to go to Sherry's question, and this was posted last time, but it's such a great question. So we're going to go to that. Then we're going to do some more about networking. And then, like I say, we'll point in the direction of speaking. So Sherry's question, and thank you, Sherry, great question. As we are approaching the end of the year, how do you apply practical applications to the strategic and operation planning for our businesses? Great question. And this is a question that comes from, like, this is almost like our last call in the series, right? But you can ask questions anywhere along the line. And one of the things I love about Sherry's question is it points to all, you know, many areas that I haven't even mentioned yet. And again, it's not your first rodeo, Sherry. You know, it's easy to see that, right? Working together so for a while. So many different areas where we use our words, including how do we plan our next year? And that comes out in words, right? That comes out in words. How do we think of, how do we even think about that? And so I want to give you a number of, I could train for an entire day or a week on this. It's a really, really great question. And we have people whose work is entirely about, like, I think of Steve, you know, like, how do you plan, right? It's like whole companies, you know, work in and around, you know, planning, right? I'm like, I don't know, right? Or I think of my friend Sarah, right, who also does a lot in and around planning. But it comes from, from my perspective, it comes out of the words. And words are so important. One of the very first things I do is choose a word for your year. Choose a word for your year. Because when we don't do, how many of you have done this before? Raise your hand. If you've been with me, you've done it, right? How many have never done this before? Raise your hand. Okay, the thing about not choosing a word for the year is often what happens is it descends into chaos. So let me give you some examples of the word. Yes, Jasmine, you get it. So here, just that one thing changes our planning for the year. So, and I'll give you some other things to do too, but I'm going to dive into this one for a bit here, Sherry. So, and for all of you. So I've chosen different words. I think that my first time I chose a word a number of years ago now, it was connectedness. This is one of my core values. How are we connected? You can see how it runs through this course. It's a foundational value. So connectedness was my theme for the whole year. What creates connection? And then I think the next year was about abundance, because there were so many connections coming into my life that there was this abundance coming in. And so I'm like, how do I allow that to continue to flourish, right? Abundance in the real way, people toss that word around, but what does it mean to actually not live in scarcity mind? For instance, there's a small example of that with Michelle going like, but this always happens. That's a mind being scarce in that moment. And then we change that. It doesn't have to be so. And that changes the course of a life. So the words we use create that. So, so abundance. And then the next year, my word was receiving, because so much stuff was coming my way. I was like, how do I not block it? Because I'm like, I thought that I had this one having level. I need to increase the having level. My word for, I've had other words other years, what's essential. My word for this year coming up is alignment. And I meditated on it a long time. And I finally have it this week. It's alignment. How do I align in my own body? How do I align? It's a great word in Iyengar yoga. Right? Because we create alignment to create space. How do I align in my body? How do I align with other human beings? How do I align with something that's bigger than I am? How do I align with all the best for my business and my life this year? How do I make sure that all the actions I take are aligned? So here's the thing. When you choose that one word, sometimes we get afraid because I want it to be this, but I want it to be that too. And I want it to be that too. And we won't land on it. But can you see through that? I learned this working on my PhD. You know, you're studying just this one thing. Aren't you neglecting everything else? But when you really dive into that one thing in a deep way, this is what I learned doing the PhD. You have to understand all this stuff that goes into it. If I really get alignment next year, abundance is going to have to be in there because abundance flows from that. If I really get that, well, if I want my word to be love, well, when I'm aligned, I'm going to do things less that harm another. I'm always going to try to have ahimsa in my life, non-violence, non-harming from the yoga tradition, right? But, you know, if I'm aligned, fewer messes will happen that I have to clean up, and there's more love there. Do you know what I'm saying? There's more connectedness. So when I go through that one word, it changes everything. It changes, there's a filter, all right? So that's number one, choose a word for the year. Number two would be words that name your priorities. And I had a huge opening around this, so I guess that's why I didn't get to your question. Everything happens for a reason. That reason is there to serve us. That's a foundational belief that I just live by, and that's what happens in my life. So I didn't answer your question last time, and I just learned a lot more about it since I wrote these words on the page, because I wrote them down last time to answer your question. Words that name priorities. So what are your company's core values? Do you know? How many of you have a set of core values for your company? Raise your hand. How many do not? Be proud. Raise your hand. This is crucial. And I didn't get to that until just these last couple of years. But like one of my teachers says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. What really matters to you? And that's a question you could ask. That's about words, because those core values are made up of words. How do I even find them? There are no questions that are off limits. So how do I even find those core values, right? So what are my priorities for the year? Where are they going to emanate from my core values? So I work on my core values. You may not be able to get to all of these, but choose the ones that you find will work the best for you. What are my company's core values? What are your company goals for the year? This is the thing that I had the epiphany about just in the last week. Because I realized I could not name the one single goal for my company next year. I did not have a habit of doing that. I could tell you 3 years, and I could tell you for this quarter. but what's the one thing that I want for my company for this year? And to name that, a great way to, it's like, what is the, I can't think of the word that I'm looking for now right now, but what's the desired result? What is the wanted outcome? Start from there. What do you want for your company? And if you don't use that word, your business, the work that you do, right? What's the one thing that you want? And here's some things, pieces that you can play with. What are the assets you have? Write them down. What are the challenges that you have? What's your number one asset? What's your number one challenge? All these things get discovered in words. And it might be when you go for a walk and then you write it down, right? So taking a look at those assets, taking a look at those challenges, what is it that, out of that may emerge that exact thing? Like, what is it, what's going to be my priority for the year? The one thing that when I move that, that's going to change everything for me, right? And actually name it. So looking for the priorities, what's the one thing? What are the top five things that for your company, what are the top 10 things that you want? So naming priorities. And when I was asking one of my teachers about this, she said that her company, she has a network of like 500,000 women in her network. And she does heart-centered work in the world. She's amazing. She said that our company spends 80% of its time on our top three priorities. 80% of its time. And so that's something that I'm going to be thinking about. And those, again, they get named in words. We need the words to be able to name it, to say it. So have priorities for your company, for your year, for yourself, and then for your day. And, oh goodness, did I bring the picture of it? So all those, again, they get named in words. And all these things are about strategic planning and operations. We don't even know what the operations are supposed to be about until we do this work. So that's one project you could work on from Sherry's question for this week. Come back, ask follow-up questions. But it's like, I made a pie chart years ago, all right? What do I want my day to look like? I want to sleep for 8 hours. I wasn't doing that a few years ago. I made up the pie chart. What do I want my day to look like? Errands. It takes me, errands, meals, clothes, et cetera, a couple of hours. I don't want more than a couple of hours a day on that kind of stuff. Including meals, like how much time do I actually want to spend, right? Work, I put on here that I want to work 6 hours a day in and on my business. Have I been doing that? No. Am I getting closer and closer to that? Yes. Did I used to be working like 16 hours a day? Yes. Do I not do that anymore? No. Is my company growing faster than ever? Yes. How does that happen? Because I've set those priorities down. I've named them and I've shared them with others as well. Whether that person with the eyes and nose and mouth, two eyes and nose and a mouth, share them with others. So words that name priorities, your company or your year, yourself and your day, and dream big. And if you're not sure how to dream big, then lean in with your community, lean in with people here, lean in with your trusted source, ask questions here, and dream big. One of the problems with priorities and goals and so on is people, it's not that people miss their goals, it's they aim for the ceiling and they hit it. And you aim for the moon. Heard that before? If you miss, at least you'll land in the stars. Let me see. One thing that I'm going to be doing with a couple of my accountability partners next week, and I encourage you to do this too. It's like, once you've done all that work, what's one area where there's a block? So I mentioned that, but I want to emphasize it here. What's one area that you want to move through? What's one area that you want to focus on and expand? And what's that main goal that it's in service of? So that's those are the places that I would start. How do you apply practical applications to the strategic and operation planning for your business? Without that foundation, we don't even know what to do. And the words are the things that name it. Name those values for yourself. And out of that comes the strategic things to do. Often we start with strategies and tactics, but we miss the overall vision. So we need the vision. And that's and you can do that too. It's not on my page, but I teach that in other places in our year-long mastermind. How do you even envision where you want to go? And you can write it down, spend 20 minutes, and then wait until you're in a good, or take time to put yourself in a really good energetic space. gather the energy first. And then write down and don't stop. Like, what is your vision for 3 years from now? Where are you actually going to be? No holds barred. Everything that you thought could happen, there's, you don't have to think about the how, came true and you're living it. Write it in present tense. I'm so happy and grateful. That's the Bob Proctor's phrase. I'm so happy and grateful now that, you know, I have, you know, this many clients, or I'm living, I'm traveling in this place, I'm doing this. So just write it out, because then those words become the vision that allow you to have a place to head toward. So again, I can and do teach, you know, whole workshops and retreats that expand on this further, but that is my best answer, best starting place to your question. Sherry, did we get there somewhere as a place to begin? Yes. Okay. So I want to hear what's the most important thing you heard in answer to that question, Sherry, first. And Dottie, I see you, Sherry, first. What's the most important thing that you heard?
I think it's as much as anything to just really do it. You know, get focused, get your priorities, get intentional, and create the structure that's simple and relatable that encompasses these kinds of things.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Beautiful. And it has to happen without words. How do we do it? So the words, and it's connected. So what Michelle was mentioning earlier, and then what Sherry is asking, these are connected. If we have these sticky places where we've got some stories inside us that are putting a block, even in small places like that, they can create bigger blocks, or, you know, things that I can't get going. And now with that one shift, Michelle has like much more opening to start to create shifts, right? So these kind of micro shifts that shifts that happen, and the macro, you know, vision, both require our words. So practical applications, get results with your words. I'm going to give you in this, and what we're doing in this series, here are the key places that I would focus on, you know, one by one, from close into far away. But it doesn't mean that there aren't countless other places where we use our words, and there's an example. And we cover some more of those in the very last call. But what Sherry did is took us to that, you know, big global vision. Michelle took us to that dailiness, and both require our words, and both emanate from the stories inside us. And again, that's why I want you to read Anatomy of an Empowering Story, because I'm not doing that material here, but it's all part of where our words come from and how powerful they are. All right, from all of that, all of that training in around that one place to use our words, and I want to connect it with networking as well. Let's say I saw you, Dottie and Jasmine, but I want to connect it with our topic at hand, networking. And let's say I'm about to, you know, meet somebody, but I don't even know what my vision is. I don't even know why it matters. And I'm just mostly tired. And that's the energy that I'm projecting. Well, then I want to sell some stuff because I know I need to. I was like, so a lot of people walk into a lot of places, right? I don't know how to get there from there. Or instead, I know what my vision is because I've written it down and I've taken the time and I've connected with partners and I've envisioned. And one of you, your line is, Anne, I'm just going to mute your line here. So always remember to mute and unmute if you've spoken, please. This keeps a clear line. So if I don't know what my vision is, and when I'm networking with somebody else, I need to understand what matters to them. I need to know what moves them. I haven't got to that piece about connection. Is that what it's about, Jasmine? Is that why you raise your hand? Yeah, thank you. Okay. So if I don't know what my own vision is, how am I going to know what their vision is? So I want to know that vision. It comes right into the networking as well. If I can't access it in myself, that's the closest in I can get. How can I access it in others? Help them connect to that place where they dream, where they have pain in my area that I might be able to help. All right, so thank you for that reminder, Jasmine. We'll go there right after Dottie's comment. Real, real short, Dottie, one sentence or two.
I want to delve deeper into vision and goals and dreaming. Do you have material that you can direct us to of yours and or recommend a book like you've recommended some other
books? So Dottie, the whole of the Having a Big Why series, if you're in the year long, there's an entire series designed in around that will help with that. All right. And then also what I'm going to suggest is post a follow-up question for next week, because then I know there's, you know, deep interest and desire in about that, and we'll take it further next time, right? Because we already did the deepest dive that we can do today, and then also get to other pieces. So post it for next time, all right? Okay. Anything burning to be said, without which we can't go forward? It's like, I have to say this because it'll draw all the energy over here. Jasmine, go ahead.
Just quickly, I took the time over the Thanksgiving break here in the States to do exactly this, inspired by your Quantum Leaps training, and got my word for the year, rewrote my vision and mission, rewrote my priorities and all that, and it's already started catapulting me. Like, my word for this year was massive value, and my word for next year is quantum leaps. And just, it started catapulting me into taking those quantum leaps already, and I feel like this December is not the end of 2019, but rather the launch of my quantum leaps year for 2020. So I would definitely recommend, the sooner you can do this for your business and start planning for the next year, the better it's going to be.
Freaking awesome. Thank you, Jasmine, for that. And again, if you're in the year long, there's an entire 4-hour training on how to do that and how to do it and the pitfalls that usually people fall into and how to avoid that and so on and so forth. So Dottie, I refer you over to that as well. And again, just post follow-up questions about it here. And I've given you the core pieces that where I would start to create that. All right. So thank you, Jasmine. Love that. All right. So where to go from here? I said that I would go to connections. I thought we'd get there earlier. It's like, it's not all up to me, right? It's not always all up to me, but this is the perfect time to be talking about that. I don't think we're going to get to speaking. Speaking is really the matter for next time anyway, but we're going to finish off the pieces in and around networking and how to create immediate influence and authority. And it's not what people think about. I think, look, I'm going to puff myself up and I'm going to be big, and how do I do that? And it's already lost. It doesn't happen from that. Immediate influence and authority comes from that acronym REAL. It comes from enacting that. And it starts from a connection. Remember, we talked about the relationship part? And I said, you know, we can build that quickly. And things are not what we think it is. It's not like puffing myself up and making myself big to be influential. And it's not a war. And it's not, it doesn't come from having just the right elevator pitch. It comes from none of those places, as far as I'm concerned. It comes from connection. And that happens more quickly than we think. And I gave the story last time. I'm not going to repeat the whole story, but the woman from LA and I'm from Alberta, and we're talking about traffic. And from that, we got to a place that is entirely different than that, because we connected over something. We connected over opposites even. So what I want to say here, this is a crucial skill to learn as an entrepreneur, is first knowing what I call the principle of connection. Everything is connected. I used to have trouble. How many of you have watched Sesame Street or know of Sesame Street? Raise your hand. Okay, thank you. Good, I'm not alone. So I remember being very young and watching when I was very small, and they'd have, you know, one of these things is not the same. And they'd have like a big shoe, a little shoe, a purple shoe in a box or something like this. And it was to try to show you that these are all shoes and this is a box. And, you know, that was to train the mind, really, is one of the mind trainings that they did on Sesame Street. If you remember that, you know, one of these things is not like the other. Yeah, some of you remember. Okay, cool. As a small child, I don't know, like sometimes I'm really good at stuff and sometimes I'm not so good because I'd have trouble. I'm like, okay, there's a shoe in a box, but that's not what I would see. I would see a red shoe and a red box, and you know what I mean? Or I would see this one is big and the box is big and that shoe is small. And I tell this story because it's actually an asset. I wasn't very good. I failed Sesame Street. I didn't really fail Sesame Street, you know. But I'm like, I was confused because to me, everything is connected. Remember one of my core values, connectedness? And so this is a really important skill. It's one that I want you to go out and practice this week. And from that, amazing things happen. And all it is really, to me, it's just about treating human beings as human beings and finding out what connects us all. And a friend of mine who, you know, when she found out that I work with story, she's like, oh my goodness, because she's growing a big and beautiful company. She says, everything in our company is about story. You know, that's how we've grown our company. And she grew up in Kenya. She said, we grew up telling stories around the campfire, you know, like, and there's always stories around us. And I built my company that way, you know? So we are, and our stories connect us. right? Our stories connect us. They persuade and they influence and they connect, and we commiserate over things. We share victories. You know, our words and stories connect us in all those ways, and they provide the connection. And connection is what allows us to be together on this planet as human beings, as a whole, and not be at war with one another. Do you get what I'm saying? So for me, it's a foundational value, and it's a foundational principle in our businesses. And it's super important as we get to networking and all the other kinds of communications that we have in our companies. As we go from further away, we need to know this even more, but we're going to practice it here in networking. And so I told you, for instance, that that woman ended up investing in something and she was scared, but it was exactly the right investment for her. It wasn't even my stuff. But I'm just like, I helped her, held space for her in making that decision. And it started out because didn't talk about that at all. We were talking about LA traffic. That's where we started. Now, she's from LA. I'm from Canada. Those are very different. Those can be very different places, but we found that place in around something that was even opposite. And I want to tell you that when you meet somebody, you want to listen to them first. And it's kind of like a deeper dive on that. And how can you listen in ways that matter? And how can we have that relationship when we don't have it? It starts from connection, the principle of connection. And I want to tell you, any two things are connected. Like the big shoe, you know, big shoe and the small box, but they're both purple. Right? So what I want to do, I think I only did this one other time. I think that was at my Story Freedom event once. I think we did some of this training, but somebody give me two things. Somebody, because I see connection. I can't help it. And I want you to cultivate this. All right. So name two things. Yeah. Jasmine. And then Anne. Jasmine first.
An orange peel.
An orange peel. And oh, okay. You just named one thing. Anne, name another thing.
A horse.
An orange peel and a horse. Okay. An orange peel and a horse. That might be, I see myself around a networking table, right? And somebody's peeling their orange and their orange peel is there. And, you know, so, well, I can't even eat oranges because, they're supposed to help you from getting sick, right? But I find like they make me sick, you know? And, it's like different foods are important for different people, animals too, I think, right? Because I'm sure there's stuff for horses. I bet it's like that there's some things they're supposed to eat and some things they're not supposed to eat. And it's not even just what Canada's food guide says. Something is something different, right? That might not have been my best effort, right? That might not have been the best, but it's a bridge between like an orange peel that has seemingly nothing to do with a horse. But horses need to eat stuff. And sometimes it's not what we seem. And there's more complex things about horses, right? And there's 10,000 other ways that those could be connected. Give me two other things. If you could hear the connection there, raise your hand. That was connected. Yeah, cool. Okay, good. All right, give me two other things real quick. I was like, why am I doing this? Well, you'll see. Somebody give me two things quick. Okay, Jasmine and Anne, again, go for it.
A beach ball.
Okay, Anne.
This is very true, and I had this in my mind, Jasmine, a basketball.
A beach ball and a basketball.
I swear.
Well, it's so obvious that they're both balls, and I'm going to go for the opposite because we can also go for contrast. You know? Well, they're both balls, so it's too easy, right? But a beach ball and a basketball, was it? Beach ball and a basketball? Okay. And I'm going to... So beach ball, and I'm just making this stuff up on the spot. I could argue the opposite if I wanted to, but beach balls are just like so much better than basketballs. I mean, I'm going to go contrast. I'm going to go opposite because I can see both similarities and differences, all right? So, but beach balls, they're so much better because they're lighter and they're fun and they play at the beach. But basketball, like you got to play on a team and sometimes it's hard and you don't want to let somebody down. Don't you love beach balls better? I just because you made it so easy, I went for the opposite. You can both see the differences. I took two things that seemingly were different and brought them together, or you can do the opposite, all right? So, and that's what happened with the LA traffic one, actually. It was completely different. Wow, you guys in LA, that's, you know, you're amazing because you'll drive 2 hours and then drive back 20 minutes. You got to be strong. You got to be courageous. We're not like that in the prairies. It's like I told you the story with the stop sign and nobody was there. Right. Okay. Any two things can be connected. We could carry on for another hour. Do you trust me that any two things can be connected? You get the sense of this, even just from those two examples. Anyway, I came up with the opposite. It was too easy. So, um, I'm tempted to, but you got the example. I'm tempted to carry on with the beach ball and make the connection, but I know you already got it. All right. What creates immediate influence and authority? Authority or influence and impact? It's not because we have an impressive elevator pitch. It's not because we say exactly the right words. If you want that elevator pitch, by the way, what are three key words? Let me just give you drop a fish in here. What are three key words that are important things to say to people? For me, it's entrepreneur, story, business growth, you know, something like that. When I meet somebody, those three elements are probably going to be in there, but not always, not necessarily, right? Hi, I'm Michelle Gunderson. I'm Dr. Michelle Gunderson. I teach entrepreneurs how to tell stories that sell. It's simple, right? But that's not the key anyway. So I just wanted to give you that fish in case you're nervous and worried about that part. But it's not about that at all. It's about connection. Somebody's wearing a purple jacket and can talk about that. Somebody just walked in and their, you know, dog just died and you don't own a dog. Where's the connection? Somebody walks in and they're talking about their pink elephant. Where's the connection? Where's the point that intersects your lives? I want you to go away and practice that skill. And really a great thing to do, because you all are in touch with at least one person in the community, get in touch with at least one other person and practice it. You could do that, spend 20 minutes and find as many connections with, you know, you could do it rapid fire. You could play this game any way you want to, right? But find two things and find 10 different connections between them, or have a bunch of words on a page. Just like pull them out. You want to practice this skill, because this is what creates impact. This is what creates influence. It's because we're actually connected to another human being. And it starts with the simplest of things, right? So who's willing to go and play with connections this week? Raise your hand and go play and find some and ready to report back. Yes? Okay, awesome. That should be all hands up, I hope, right? Because it can be done in a second, or it could be done with pairs. You can take this as, you could spend an entire day on this and this would be foundational for your company. Right, so you can take this as deep or as little as you want. There's a lot of Christmas, holiday thing is going on in December. Well, you're going to a party, go find out. I remember talking to one guy at one, I probably had something in common with everybody except this one guy who did, you know, large tractors, or I don't know what it was, but I'm come from a farming family and, you know, even still there's a connection. What's the connection? Listen first, right? So that's your challenge for this week. And that's where influence comes from, because it starts by a deep listening to something that matters to that person, or something sometimes inconsequential like LA traffic, but it creates a connection, right? So I just want to share my screen, because we're going to get to some other, the last principles that we haven't got to yet about networking. So let's go to networking do's and don'ts first. Okay. Because I want you to be able to implement the things that are on these handouts, right? So hopefully I've got the right page. There it is. Can you see my 8 networking do's and don'ts? Nod if you can. Okay, got it. Okay. So 8 networking do's and don'ts. Don't deliver long monologues where people have no way to enter in. This is related to Steve picked up, gap. Right? I'm going to create a gap. I'm going to create a space where somebody can enter in. One of the most effective an amazing person who's built a huge company. And he would just say, when people say, hey, what do you do? I help people. I teach people about love, like one single word. Oh, this whole elevator pitch. Lots of ways to enter in. Really successful company. Don't deliver long monologues. It breaks all the principles of real. Don't present a canned elevator pitch that you deliver the same way every time. I think we've got that by now. These are real interactions. I don't always say the same thing. And I'm listening to what that person is, how that person is reacting, and I'm building it, and I'm checking it out and seeing who they are. Maybe elephants really matter to them, and that's how I'm going to enter in. There's going to be something about elephants maybe in what I say. I don't know, right? I say don't carry business cards and hand them out to everybody. I don't even have business cards. I haven't for years. People who teach networking, like that's their whole business, always want to fix me because I think something is wrong. It hasn't stopped me from meeting people and the next day we start working together. And that, because they've wanted you and they're asking me, can I please work with you? How does that happen? I don't carry business cards. Try getting their information directly on your phone. Just a couple of people when you go meet people. Who are the people that you really want to stay connected with? I have people enter it right in the phone. If they won't take the time to do that, if it's just all these random cards, like take the time, enter it in the phone. Hey, let's get connected. Let's talk next week. Let's talk tomorrow. Don't get too caught up in getting it right. That's that perfect elevator pitch. Just forget about that. Do, and these are so simple, but they're profound, and they, with everything connected, they change everything. Be genuinely interested in that welfare, in their welfare. What matters to them? Start there. Because if we don't know what matters to them, let's say I'm selling, widgets. Let's say I'm selling training. One of the graduates, alumni of my year-long program, she's a fitness trainer. And let's say you're talking to somebody and you're touting the benefits of doing 20 push-ups a day, and then you haven't found out that they just had heart surgery. That was one of her clients, actually, who just had heart surgery. How would she know what to say? This person just had heart surgery. Wow. It's probably hard to even get up off your chair, or what are they even asking you to do? Are they asking you to, nurses and doctors to let me, genuinely interested. Maybe that person is desperate to be able to move around again. And that's how, but if she just starts by speaking about things, what matters to them? Help the conversation around the table. If there's a bunch of people, like, how do you allow others to get a chance to speak? And I want you to be so skilled with the words that you can be relaxed about it, not trying to always get a word in edgewise, but be the conversation enabler. I play that role because I'm genuinely interested in people. And it comes around to, hey, but what about you, Michelle? Because I've been facilitating conversation. It just naturally turns that way. Tell good stories. This could be a whole segment here. This isn't where I'm teaching directly about stories as much. But one thing, does your story make one point? Is it relatable? There's that connected with your listeners some way. If the story goes off and it's about, eggplant in Alaska, nobody knows anything about eggplant or Alaska, that still could be a good story. But it's got to be relatable to them somehow. Maybe you can slip on eggplant peels and everybody just slipped on an egg, a banana peel. I don't know. It's got to be connected. Why do they care? Have fun, play and experiment. And then to show you the networking personalities, the ones to emulate, because these do not cross real, they enable them. Miss service on any topic. This is about a guy named Thomas Tadlock that I met. He's at Peak Potentials. Everyone was always talking about him because they got his cousin fixed their computer, or somebody else, needed a boat or whatever it was. And when they needed something, they got to know his name came up first, always. How you do anything is how you do everything. Don't be afraid to just help people. Mrs. Listening Intently, Mr. Not So Serious, Mr. Truthful, Confidential, Miss Empathetic and Relational, Mrs. Real, Name the Elephant in the Room. Sometimes people are talking on the surface of things. It's awful. I can do that. I'm good at it if I need to be, but I don't like that stuff. Everybody's talking about something and it's just something nobody's naming. To actually name it. Mrs. Free Help, but only when asked for, not to just blah on people, but actually, I've done this countless times, but then how do you do that without giving away the farm? That would be a great question to ask. Go ahead and ask me that if that's your issue. If nobody asks, I might not go deeper into that, but if you ask, I'll go in deeper into that, because you want to end this like endless going for coffee with people, and you need a structure to both give and then allow people to step in further if that's appropriate for them. But don't be afraid to give your best stuff. It comes out of a deep generosity. It comes out of a deep willingness to serve. And it's funny that this is such a heart-centered group. It feels like, preaching to the converted, but it's not, because we think we get all balled up and we think there's something special we're supposed to do. But when we know that it actually comes from what I know is that inside the hearts of all of you, that is the best of networking. That is the best of meeting new people. That it comes from something that you've known since you were a child, but it's just reenacting it instead of getting rid of all those rules that you thought you learned from somewhere else that were maybe getting it, tangled up. It's from that place. It's from that place that things move. All right. So today, that's a quick run through, but you can go out and practice those. I would encourage you, like we did last time, choose one of those that you would like to play with. you know, I'm going to be name the elephant in the room, or I'm going to be of service and just see what happens. So I encourage you to go through them, see how they align with that acronym REAL, of real conversation. Choose one of them and go enact that. You might even have two of them, one of the don't do's and one of the do's, and then just play with them this week so they become real to you. So you actually have them on the court when you're at holiday gatherings, when you're meeting people in your field, when you're at a speaking engagement, when you're out at the grocery store. Play with it. The more you play with it, the more will come to you, all right? So today, where we've been is making a great first impression. It's an essential skill. It starts from something very different than what people think. The 10 networking personalities to avoid, the 7 to emulate, how to become the person to flock to. It starts with the questions. It starts with the listening. It turns over to you if you want more explicit instruction of, yeah, but how do I get it over to me? Ask that question and I'll do a deeper dive. Each one of these I could train on all day. So I will listen to what you're asking the most about and I'll add more pieces. I just want to tell you what we're going to do next time. And I want to be here live if you can. Module 3 is 10 keys to making $10,000 plus from speaking, even when you can't sell. This happens to people that I coach. This happens to me all the time. And you can go and speak sometimes for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, for 20 minutes, and you can't even offer anything. And you can end up with $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 and more. And if even a fraction of that you'd be really happy with, you're not going to want to miss next week's call. And it's simpler than people think. And it's having all the right people step up and happily engaged in the work with you because you're the exact person that they need. And they have been looking for, sometimes for a long time, they have been looking for you. So how do you help them find you? And how do you make it easy? And sometimes maybe it could be two people in your room. It could be in front of 1,000 people or thousands of people. But whenever you're speaking in front of an audience, like what are you to do? What's that genre look like? How can we use what we've learned from networking and then start translating it over into a little further away, one on many, and have words that still have impact? So we've got to wrap it up soon here. So what I want to do is, I just want to close it out with my favorite part of the call always, which is one aha from you and one inspired action, because everybody here heard something different. There is a lot packed into this call, sometimes in places where you might not be noticing. Somebody else noticed it, and it might be your most important take home in the whole call. One aha and one inspired action. If this is all just a nice idea, nothing changes in your work, your company, or your world. And one thing that's a check-offable action, I'm going to go grocery shopping, and I'm going to play when I talk to the cashier and be one of those personalities. I'm going to go and observe the other personality and see how that goes. One thing that you can check off so you know that you're actually implementing this out in the real world where it has results, right? I'm going to make one phone call. I'm going to choose my word for the year. I'm going to figure out how to find my core values, and I'm going to post a call about a question about that. I don't know how to post questions. I'm going to reach out to Amy, etc. Right? So one aha, one inspired action, and jot it down. If you've got to go before we finish this, jot it down for yourself. Share it with at least one other person, and you're up first. You're in my left-hand corner once again. And don't forget to unmute. And then unmuting is in the bottom left-hand corner, yeah.
Okay, my aha is choose a word for your year. I love that. So yeah. An inspired action would be to choose a word for my year.
Yes, fantastic. There are many things we do that can, one thing can change your company and change your life, and that's one of them. That, if you only got that from this entire series, that can utterly change your world. Thank you, Anne. Beautiful. Grace, you're up next.
So I have my word, which is stepping out. And what I realize is when I focus on stepping out, everything else seems to align that this is my purpose for this year. This is all the actions I take will lead to stepping out. And so my action, I'm going to have two actions. One is to put stepping out wherever I can, so it's visibly a reminder to me. And the second action is to actually go through, name my values for the company, my priorities and goals.
Thank you. And again, I want to encourage you to post questions. That came from Sherry's question. A lot of really great, you know, two amazing ahas from that. When you post a question, everybody wins. So thank you for that. And I want to underline how powerful our words are. One single word, get results with your words. One single word can change a life. Thank you. Love it. Michelle, you're up.
So my aha was also the word for the year. I'd never done that before. But
super popular, fantastic. It's really important.
So, but mine was clear to me pretty quick. My word is free.
Mm.
And my action on that, I think, is to take the meaning behind that into when I'm either thinking about what I do or when I'm speaking to people, to not feel like you told me about, well, this is just the way it is, or this is just the, you know, not be too compartmentalized with things. And so be more free to be like, well, that's how it's been, but maybe it's going to change or something like
that. Love that, Michelle, and taking that direct coaching and just that small play with the words that also creates an entirely different trajectory, and connecting that with your word. I love that. This piece of the call and that piece of the call, putting it together. It's why when you go back and listen to these calls again, as you put together that piece, new knowledge happens and a new awareness, like you just did for us here beautifully. Thank you. Yeah. Dottie, you're up.
Great class, Michelle. What I got out of today was a deeper dive on connection. Mm-hmm. How it's not on what you know or how you can help people, it's on connection. So my action is I made a sign before I go outside that I look at. Thank you.
Fantastic. This is so crucial for all of us and so crucial for you, Dottie. I'm so glad you underlined that. Without this, I don't know how to do all the other pieces that are further away. I don't know how to do any part of it. It's at the heart of all of it. So thank you for underlining it here toward the end of our call. Thank you. Beautiful. Jasmine, you're up.
So we've done, you've had me play with this a bit before about being such a young entrepreneur, like, and so young in the entrepreneurial world, and about like, I've only been in business for a year instead, or rather saying it like, I've only been in business for a year, and like, this is the third time today that something that I just sort of like took a training on and then instinctually did some next steps on was like exactly aligned with what a mentor said to do in terms of the prioritization work. And so my inspired action is to trust my gut and instincts more and have a lot more faith in the way that I can grow and give back to folks who have been in entrepreneurship for a while by asking more questions and taking up more space that I feel I often don't, because I feel like others with more experience would ask better questions than I would.
Love it, Jasmine. So I'm already doing it. I'm already on track. And just trust that. Know that my experience is perfect and get out there and do it. That's what I'm hearing you, you know, hearing you say. Beautiful. Yes, thank you. Love it. Anna Maria, you're up.
Hello, Dr. Michelle. So,
hello.
My aha moment was that I need to create a space or a deep breath or calmness or just more of the deep breath when I have a speaking situations or I have to speak in more than one-to-one. And I think that will give me more confidence because I could feel like my heart pounding or just getting a little bit tense or anxious. And I did... creating that space or just taking a deep breath will bring in more peaceful or calmness.
Thank you. Love it. Yes.
And I will work on setting my core values or writing down my core values to be able to set my priorities or my vision.
Yeah. Love it. Thank you, Anna Maria. Beautiful. Yes, yes, and yes. One more person. Your number ends in 6366. I don't know if you're in a place where you could speak. We don't see you. Can you speak? Last chance. All right. So thank you. Great insights, great things that you've shared here. Loved being with you here today. This is such important material, and I love hearing how you're taking it up to actually move your company and move your world. So have a fantastic, fantastic week, everybody. Next week, how can I speak, whether it's to two people in my living room or, you know, on a big stage or anywhere in between, in a way that allows people actually to come step forward and engage in the work that I do in really easy, easy ways. And one of the things we'll do is I'm actually sharing with you my storyboard, but without it, without explaining it, you won't know why that matters, right? But we'll take a look at the storyboard. It's a very simple structure that you can implement right away next week as soon as we are talking about this. So can't wait to see you for our next step, getting a little further away with getting results with our words. Have a fantastic week, everybody. I love you so much. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye for now.